A Man's Guide to Boots and Shoes. Over 70 years ago, archaeologist Luther Cressman discovered perhaps the world's oldest pair of footwear in Central Oregon. The sandals were dated to be about 10,000 years old, and from the pictures I've seen, they were made with intricate weaves, and they indicated they were not only functional, but also stylish in design. So even from our tribal days to modern times, men have searched for and valued footwear that looked both great and got the job done. So the goal of this article is to give you an overview of a man's options when it comes to footwear. So why care about your shoes? A man should care about his footwear if for no other reason than for the fact that it constitutes the very foundation that he stands upon. In an average day, you ask your shoes to absorb the force of your weight 3,000 plus times. So a poor choice here can lead not only to discomfort, but injury one step at a time, especially if you select shoes that inhibit your body's natural gait and cushioning system, and if you're overweight. Then there's the appearance aspect. Separate from the rest of your clothing, shoes are a visual endpoint and receive a disproportional amount of attention. Despite only covering 5% of your body, they make up more than 30% of the visual judgment we make when sizing up a stranger. 4 footwear rules. First, wear the right shoes for the right occasion. This is the most common mistake I see men when it comes to footwear. Running shoes have a purpose. They protect your feet while running. Steel-toe work boots have a purpose. They protect your feet while working. And wearing these shoes outside of their prescribed function is fine as long as they're still appropriate. However, most of us take this to an extreme, and we've abandoned the middle ground between formal and ultra-casual. Second, invest in quality. Not every man can afford to spend hundreds of dollars on his shoes. I know this. However, many of those who can instead to choose to waste their money elsewhere and buy new inferior shoes every few years. This isn't a winning strategy, as lower quality footwear is held together with glue and made with cheap raw materials such as cardboard and paper that doesn't age well. You can save money in the long term by buying more expensive, higher quality shoes that last for decades up front. I want to expand on this point because it's important. Buying quality shoes is something every man should budget for. It's not a bad thing that you actually have to save up money for a pair of shoes. What you're going to find is because you've spent more on them, you've invested more into them, and you're going to take better care of them. And by taking better care of these shoes, you're going to find that instead of lasting 2 to 3 years, they're going to last you 20 to 30. And don't forget about the thrifting option. Assuming that you can find a pair of quality shoes that fit you from Allen Edmonds, Alden, or another high-quality manufacturer, you can most likely send them back and have them recrafted and resold for a fraction of the cost. And these things are going to serve you for 20 years. And that's starting off used. Third, never sacrifice proper fit and comfort. Buy the right size shoe. So even if this means paying a little bit more and purchasing your shoes at a brick-and-mortar shop versus going tax-free lowest price online. Actually, this isn't a bad deal, especially if you think about it. You're going to be supporting a small business, and you're going to be able to talk with an expert, someone that you can trust, who can really help you choose not only the right length, but also look at the width. Most higher-end shoes are going to, they're going to have it set up so that you can get the right width. In addition, look at your arch. A gentleman who really understands footwear will be able to steer you towards the style which has the right arch support so that you're not in pain as you're wearing these shoes. Fourth, take care of your footwear. We've written about this extensively, and I've talked about this, and I will talk about it more in another article, but you want to take care of them. I unfortunately even have a horror story myself of not waterproofing my shoes, and I end up getting the leather to crack and split, and yeah, I lost them, but I learned pretty quick, and now you can bet I take much better care of my footwear. Common footwear terminology. All right, let's go over some of the terms that you probably need to understand. Sole. This is commonly referred to as the bottom part of the shoe or boot and can be further divided into the outer sole, the midsole, the inner sole, depending on the type and quality of the shoe being discussed. The upper, a general term that refers to the part of the shoe above the sole. Broguing, a form of ornamentation in which tiny holes are carved into the shoe's leather. An important point to remember is that the more decoration on a shoe, the less formal it becomes. Open lacing. One of the two lacing systems used in Oxford shoes, the open lacing system delineates the shoe in question to be a blucher. The shoe's tongue and vamp, parts of the upper that cover the top of the foot, are cut in one piece with an open throat. Insole. As mentioned above, a subsection of the general term sole. The inner sole is the layer of the sole upon which the foot rests. A quality insole can mean the difference between a shoe that will last 5 years and one that will last 25. Heel. The back portion of the shoe that comes into direct contact with the ground and gives elevation to the foot when the shoe is worn. Heels are often built from 2 to 4 pieces of leather and called lifts and reinforced with rubber or metal. Laces. The choice is usually round or ribbon, with round having the advantage of being stronger and more formal thanks to their core, while ribbon laces come in a variety of colors and are more elastic and are thus a good choice for athletic shoes or hiking boots. Men's footwear types. Dress shoes. Oxfords are lace-up shoes built to be worn below a man's ankle. They are commonly divided into balmorals and bluchers due to the difference in their lacing system. Balmorals are commonly referred to simply as Oxfords, while bluchers are referred to as derbies, but rarely Oxfords. And all of this leads to a lot of confusion, naturally. So for simplicity's sake, I'm going to refer to balmorals as balmoral Oxfords and bluchers as bluchers, although I may mistakenly call balmoral Oxfords just Oxfords. I'll rarely ever call them balmorals. Okay. Balmoral Oxfords are a closed lacing system and are normally styled more simply than bluchers. Thus, balmoral Oxfords are classified as the dressier of the two. They are best worn with suits and formal wear. I advise every man to own at least one pair of balmoral Oxfords to wear with his two-piece suit. Bluchers usually come in a wider range of styles and colors, and a conservative pair can be worn with a suit, and for many men is their go-to pair of shoe to wear with suits in their wardrobe. That being said, bluchers that utilize broguing, a split toe, or color combinations look best with more casual clothing. And here I'm talking about sports jackets and odd trousers, or even just dress shirts and slacks. Slip-ons are not Oxfords, as they do not use laces. By design, they are less formal, although if conservatively styled, they can and have been worn with suits. However, they are generally more at home with gray flannel trousers and a sports jacket. Moccasins, monk straps, and tassel loafers are just a few more of the popular options available. Many of the styles you'll find in the slip-on category could have been classified below as casual footwear. This just highlights the fact that there are very few hard lines when dividing items like this. Casual footwear. All right, let's talk about saddle shoes. They're a casual Oxford shoe, and it's distinctive because it utilizes a layer of leather over the instep that is normally a different color than the rest of the shoe, thus classifying it as a casual but stylish choice. Boat shoes or topsiders are made to be worn on a boat to prevent slipping, just like the title says, and they've migrated, though, from the docks of Boston to the wardrobes of men all over the world, especially during the summer. And they can be worn without socks. They're available in a wide variety of colors. And you'll even see them as looking like moccasins often. Leather-laced, heavy-soled, you know, these are more casual shoes. And you're going to see these, you know, Doc Martens, Skechers. They range in price from $40 to $200. Often the issue here, especially with that really heavy sole, is that it makes it just casual by nature. In addition, here we start to see where price isn't determined by the quality of the shoe, but it's more likely determined by the brand and the origin of manufacture and items like that. So you're not necessarily getting a better shoe, and sometimes you're getting one that's actually inferior to one that could cost a bit less, but doesn't have, you know, or they're not, doesn't have as maybe as strong of a marketing team. Canvas shoes. Sneakers come in a wide variety of styles and colors. However, the rules of wearing them outside of the gym are universal. When clean and the situation's appropriate, they work well with chinos, jeans, and shorts. I'm a big fan of the simple, you know, the classic Converse Chucks. They've been around forever, and those are the ones you can wear on the weekend if with your jeans or chinos, and if you know you're expecting a little bit of movement around, you're going to be helping a friend move, and then perhaps watching a football game afterwards and drinking a beer. That's when you wear your Converse. Leather loafers. Separate from the slip-on leather dress loafers above, these slip-on loafers are built with heavier rubber soles and are have more casual uppers. Their styles are wide and ranging, but the purpose of their construction is to fill the void between canvas shoes and dress shoes while maximizing comfort at a value price. In the U.S., I feel Clarks, I think they're called, I've actually got a pair, and they do a pretty good job. Echo, outside of the United States, that's also a pretty cool brand. I like what they put out. And again, these, they're never going to be mistaken for dress shoes, but they look a lot better than running shoes. Clogs, flip-flops, and Crocs. All right. I don't have anything nice to say about these things, so I'm going to move on. Athletic shoes. Running shoes, basketball shoes, tennis shoes. You would think the occasion for which these shoes are named after, we would understand when to wear them, but that's not the case. And I admit, I mean, back in high school, I fell into the thing. I mean, everybody wanted those Reebok pumps. Everybody wanted the Air Jordans, and we wore those things everywhere. I never got a pair of those. And my parents sent me to, we went to Payless, and remember, my shoes were falling apart. But in any case, you know, just because you can afford them now doesn't mean you need to wear them all the time. And no, if you wear a pair of Air Jordans, it does not mean you're going to be able to dunk the basketball. Just to let you know. Boots. All right. There's all types of boots out there. I love boots. I think they're one of the most functional and stylish pieces of footwear out there. So let's jump into this. Work boots. So there's a cobbler I go to in Green Bay, and his shelves are lined with two types of footwear: high-end dress shoes that need to be reconditioned and shined, and work boots that have gone through a beating and need new soles. So I look at work boots like a pickup truck. You rub them into the ground, but at the end of the day, you treat that thing like gold. You're checking the oil. It's the same with boots. You want to get a great pair of Red Wings and make sure that you take care of them. And when they start to wear out, you take them in and you get them resoled and you get them fixed. But boots are amazing, especially if, you know, invest in a good pair of work boots. I think that's something that they're going to take you places and take good care of you. And you're going to find, you know, you really want steel toe, because I mean, I'm not in the construction industry anymore, but even around my house, I drop things and those steel toes, it's beautiful. Hiking boots. So I see a lot of people, especially in the out west, they wear hiking boots like a lot of people wear tennis shoes. And I think that it's a bit abused, but at the end of the day, hiking boots, they're designed to support the ankles. They're incredibly comfortable. And this is one of those things that it is hard to not wear these instead of, you know, middle of the road shoes. And so this is, you know, you didn't hear it, but I usually turn my head the other way because I respect hiking boots. Western boots, perhaps some of my favorite boots. And that goes back to me growing up in West Texas. I saw Western boots everywhere. But they're a very functional and incredibly comfortable piece of gear and incredibly stylish. I have a friend, he was traveling throughout the UK, and he literally had someone offer him $500 to buy his $200 pair of boots right off his feet, right there in the subway. It was very, maybe it was a bit strange, but it just goes to show that people notice boots. Another thing about boots are those heels. And the heels were originally put there to keep the cowboy in a saddle, so your foot didn't slip through and you're not falling out. And they didn't have any type of lacing, because if you did fall out of your saddle and the horse kept running, you didn't get dragged and get killed. Your boots slipped right off. So there's a whole lot of function there. But another great thing about a 2-inch heel or an inch and a half heel is you will stand an inch and a half to 2 inches taller. And that is pretty cool for those of us that are under 6 foot tall. Dress boots. So this includes a wide variety of styles, and there are Chelsea boots that the Beatles made popular, and there's also, you know, things like Wolverine's 1,000-mile boots. Now, my friend Brett over at the Art of Manliness, he loves his, and I think they're a great boot. Very classy looking. You can wear them with jeans. I've seen people actually pull them off with suits, believe it or not, but I don't recommend that for most. Finally, I do get into a little bit about custom made shoes. If you're going to get custom made shoes, the price really ranges all over the place. You can go to a gentleman, I know there's a guy out in the Czech Republic, he makes great custom made shoes for under $1,000. While you may have to, if you know you're going to go to John Lobb in London, you're going to pay, you could pay $10,000 for a pair of custom shoes. And it is an ordeal. It's like getting a custom suit. It depends on who's going to make it for you, the quality of the workmanship that's going into it. And of course, you can find deals, but I would say for custom made shoes, there's even a smaller audience than there is custom made suits. And because of that, the price just varies incredibly wide. But when you go in there and you get it done, it's an amazing process. And they're going to build a last, basically a copy of your foot. And you're going to find that a pair of custom-made shoes may be the most expensive, but probably one of the most enjoyable custom pieces of gear any man can have made. And it's definitely a treat. But you'll leave your light on the wallet, so be ready for it. All right, this ends my section on an overview of men's footwear.